Agenda item number 14, report and possible discussion on external audit plan by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
This is our first year with Baker Tilly. We had RSM prior years, and I have Aaron Worthman from the partner in charge of Baker Tilly for our audit. And we have completed the retirement audit without any issues, and we're getting ready to start our full financial audit. This for FY 2019, and I present to you Aaron, and he will talk to you about our audit plan, and he may have any questions or comments. This little button here moves it forward.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to present our audit plan for fiscal year 2019. What I want to do first is I want to introduce our audit team as well as give you some background on Baker Tilly, since I probably haven't presented in front of most of you at this point. Go through our 2019 audit plan and then go through a required communication that we need to have as your auditors with you charged as governance, and then certainly open it up to any questions. So just to give you some background about our firm, Baker Tilly is roughly the 13th largest firm in the United States. We have our offices across the country. The ones pertinent to you, your audit will be completed out of our Austin office. I'm a partner in that office in charge of our assurance practice. We also have offices in Dallas and Houston as well. One thing about our firm, and one of the things that we presented when the audit was out for bid, is we have a group devoted entirely to serving entities such as yourselves, river authorities and utilities. In fact, from myself all the way down to our interns or staff, the only engagements those individuals perform is just audits of entities such as yourselves. They don't do any tax work. They don't work on any commercial audits. It's just energy and utilities. So our thought is, and our hope is, that we can provide you that expertise, you know, from our staff all the way up to myself as your partner. Another differentiator we have is we staff our audits probably a little bit heavier than most firms do. You can see here that you have one senior manager and a manager on your engagement. Those individuals between the both of them should be in the field almost 100% of the time. And when we get to final field work, I will also be on site as well. Some of the audits that I partner, CPS Energy would be one, LCRA's benefit plan audits, Guadalupe Blanco River Authority, San Antonio River Authority, ERCOT, Brownsville, and then San Antonio Water System, so some of your peers. And our hope is that as we go through and work with your management, whether it's accounting implementations or dealing with sensitive estimates or certain utility transactions, we can provide you some of the background that we've seen with these other utilities. Our audit this year, we will be delivering an audit in conformance with generally accepted auditing standards. Those are the standards that we are required to follow when we perform an audit. In addition, we also need to follow government auditing standards. Those are specific standards that have increased continuing professional education for your audit team, increased supervision, increased due care. You'll get a separate opinion that your audit was done in accordance with government auditing standards. We also would do a single audit if your federal expenditures were more than $750,000 in the current fiscal year. My understanding is you will not be required to have a single audit this year. And then lastly, we'll give you a written communication that talks about any issues that we had during the audit or any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that we happen to find. Going through a quick timeline, as David had already mentioned, our preliminary field work and planning was performed the week of July 8th. We have our information technology work, taking a look at those controls, which I'll talk about in a bit. That will be ongoing next week. Our final field work is scheduled for the weeks of October 21st, 28th, and then the wrap-up, November 14th. And we will present the financial statements, I believe, at your January 27th meeting. So one thing we always get a question is, well, what exactly is it that you do as part of an audit? We know, or you know, that our firm will issue one piece of paper at the end of the audit that gives you the opinion, but there's a lot of work that goes into it, not only with your management team, but also with our firm as well. So if I were to break down the audit, I'd say roughly 30% of what we do specific to internal controls, with most of that being information technology. I will also say that that percentage probably grows each year as opposed to lessens, just given the inherent nature of cybersecurity and things to that extent. The other 40% of what we do are substantive tests. We'll confirm your cash and investments. We'll take a look at their market values. We'll look at your fixed asset additions and retirements. You know, those are our substantive tests. And again, that's roughly 40% of the engagement. The last 30% that we have is specific to financial reporting, taking a look at your CAFR, making sure that it follows all the generally accepted accounting principles and that your policies are in compliance with those and that you follow those policies, and then also planning. So if we break the audit up a little bit more, what we would do is the first thing we did during preliminary field work is we assess your major transactions. Processes such as your billing and receivables, your fixed assets, your payables and expenditures, and your disbursements, just to name a few. We'll then look at those key controls. We'll determine what key controls are required to be in place, and then we will test those controls. Any places that we find where controls are either missing or ineffective, we'll give more substantive attention to because there's a higher risk there because of the lack of internal controls or the breakdown in internal controls. Some of the other things are major areas of emphasis. Again, I mentioned before, your cash and investments, capital assets and accumulated depreciation of those, your pension liability. You know, one thing at the end of the audit I'll be required to communicate to you is anything subject to a sensitive estimate. I'll often get asked by board members, you know, when we take a look at our financial statements, what gives you the greatest concern as an auditor? And my answer would always be significant estimates in that they're exactly that. So if you were to look at your pension, if you take a look at your pension liability or pension asset, there's so much sensitivity to that. What auditing requirements or accounting principles require is a disclosure that shows that estimate at your current discount rate. And I think one of your pensions at 6.5%. But then it also says you need to show that at 7.5% discount rate and a 5.5% discount rate. So the question is, well, our record of pension that we've recorded, that liability or asset, Aaron, can you tell me as your auditor, is that 100% accurate? And I would say no. However, I can tell you that more than likely, it probably falls between that range that you have within your notes. But what it does is it identifies to the reader that within these financial statements, that's an area of some sensitivity. That's an area to consider, to look out for. Does that make sense? And then lastly, a huge portion of what we test, again, is your financial reporting. So any questions on the audit plan, and where we spend our time? And then the last section that I want to do, earlier we had provided a communication letter based on our audit. If we were to go back maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I'd say, your audit communications, more than likely, were the auditor would come at the end and give you the audit results. They may or may not have come to a meeting like this to give you their audit plan. My guess is they probably didn't. Since that time, we've been required to have two-way communication in that, in addition to us presenting at the beginning and the end of our audit, we're required to get your thoughts on audit, audit risks, risks of fraud, things to that extent, concerns that you have. So one of the things I wanted to do here today is let you know, either in this setting or certainly when I reach out to you to conduct our fraud interviews, I will be reaching out to members of the board, but we'd like to get your input on the any fraud risks that you have, any areas of concern, anything you think we should spend more attention to. Things to that extent. And that doesn't go for just while we're planning the audit. That goes throughout the entire year. One thing I can tell you as a governing body is, you know, just as much as I don't like surprises, I'm sure you folks don't either. So just know that when we do get to the end of the audit, It should be pretty uneventful, I would see it. If we did have a major concern or there were any issues that we developed, that would not be the first time you'd hear about it. I would reach out to the chair and have those discussions accordingly ahead of time. So with that, we just like to say thank you for engaging us to perform the audit. We're excited about the opportunity. Our first audit went very well, and I know our staff have already started developing a good relationship with management, and we're excited to get going and work on the financial audit. With that, I'd open it up to any questions that any of you folks might have.
Thank you.